Who knew? That was great. Well, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we devote to Operation Christmas Child, and it's wonderful. But that kind of robs us of a Thanksgiving sermon. So we're going to do that this morning. Let's read this morning from our passage, Psalm 92. I'll give you just a moment to find that. You can download it off our YouVersion Bible app also. Psalm 92. Can't read the whole chapter. I'd love to. Let's just read the first five verses. It is good to praise the Lord and to sing praise to your name, Most High, to declare your faithful love in the morning and your faithfulness at night with a 10-string harp and the music of a lyre. For you've made me rejoice, Lord, by what you've done. I will shout for joy because of the works of your hands. How magnificent are your works, Lord. Just one of many passages we could have turned to this morning with the theme of Thanksgiving. Almost 400 years ago, William Bradford, governor of Plymouth Colony, made the following announcement. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of corn, wheat, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones do gather at your meeting house between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth or Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. So with that proclamation, William Bradford began what we know today as Thanksgiving. Things have changed a little bit since then. We're not very concerned about HEB running out of corn or squashes or vegetables. And I made some late runs to HEB, but I think even when I was over there on the evening before Thanksgiving, they still hadn't had an ample supply of turkeys and hams. You know, were you all, did you just wring your hands that they were going to run out of food over there? Nah, we kind of didn't worry about that. We're all, based on our station in life, relatively healthy, aren't we? I am. I shouldn't be here. So I'm pretty content with my health and the ravages of the savages. It was a pretty good rhyme. You know, the only savages I think we're concerned about are ISIS, and thanks to our military and our law enforcement, I slept pretty good last night. I wasn't worried about those folks. Were you? So things have changed a little bit since William Bradford issued these words. So tell me the truth. Did you find it a little bit difficult on Thursday to thank God this Thanksgiving? I'm not going to beat you up about it if you did. We live in an affluent country. We're not lacking for much. We always want more. As I mentioned in my prayer, we have a ravenous appetite for blessings, but a little bit difficult to really look for something for which we're just immensely thankful. It's hard for us to focus on that. Life has its distractions. I want to entitle the message this morning simply, Thank You, God. And I want to spend these next few moments trying to help us remember why it's still important to thank God. We may not be in the desolate situation that our founding fathers were in, but we still have a lot for which to be thankful. And I want to just use this passage to call our attention to it this morning. And nothing else. Just call our attention to this. And let's begin with this. Thank God for His greatness. Do you know all through Scripture we're given these qualifying names? We've read them so often, we've noticed them so often that I think we've become a little bit jaded to them, but they're very important. These qualifying names. In Genesis 14, verse 22, Adam refers to God as creator of heaven and earth. In Genesis 17, 1, it's God Almighty. Genesis 18, 25, judge of the earth. In Genesis 49, 24, rock of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, Lord of lords. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, God of gods. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, eternal God. 2 Samuel 22, 2, my fortress. Psalm 18, 2, my deliverer. Psalm 61, 3, strong tower. Psalm 81, 1, our strength. And here in our passage, there in Psalm 92, 1, God's referred to as most high. Descriptive names, qualifying names. They're all through Scripture. This is just a sprinkling of these qualifying names that were given. All of them describing some character trait, some personality trait of God, and they're important. They all point to God's greatness. They're not just poetic expressions of ancient, primitive rituals. They remind us that God Himself is not some abstract concept from long ago cave dwellers. God's a great, mighty person with obvious, documented, distinct characteristics. It's not that men had some idea of who God could be and then assigned names to their ideas. That's not what's going on. And it's not that men had certain experiences that they believed or interpreted to be divine and then put those characteristics into words and images. That's not the idea. God is God, whether we experience Him as such or not. He just is. He's interacted with men and manifested Himself to men in history and even given us these names to remind us of His greatness. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our commander. He is our Lord. He is our God. That's who He is. Whether men acknowledge it or not, doesn't matter. God is God. He's great. He's great. It's like the relationship between a shepherd and a lamb. To the lamb, the shepherd is everything. But that's not merely the lamb's perception. That's not the lamb's imagination. The shepherd really is everything to the lamb. The shepherd is the lamb's supply. The shepherd is the lamb's protector. The shepherd is everything to the lamb. It's not just perception. That's the truth. That's true. God is our shepherd. We don't just perceive Him that way. We don't just imagine God being our supplier. He is our supplier. We don't just imagine God to be our protector. He is our protector. We don't just imagine God being everything to us. He is everything to us. God is great. He is great. And we're given these names all through Scripture to help us protect it. If God were not great, He would have no authority over our affairs, no power to overcome our troubles. No power to deliver us. But God is great. He is our sustainer. He is our sovereign. He is our creator. He is our commander. If we want to know tremendous inner peace, if we want to know tremendous inner calm, if we want to have rest, if we want to have contentment as we go through life, we need to pause for just a minute and recognize God's great. He's great. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. It's important. Here's another thing. Thank God for His love. Verse 2 of our passage tells us it's good to thank God for His faithful love. I feel sorry for people who perceive God as some faraway, untouchable deity. Something that cannot be understood, cannot be known. There is perhaps a God, but we can't know Him. You know, in addition to just turning a person's life upside down over that perception, it's just not true. In one of H.G. Wells' books, there's the story of a man whose mind was so tensed and strained that he was in serious danger of a complete nervous and mental breakdown. His doctor told him the only thing that could save him was to find the peace that fellowship with God would give him. And the man said, and I quote, "What? To think of that up there having fellowship with me? I could just soon think of cooling my throat with a sip of the Milky Way or reaching out and shaking hands with the stars." That's sad, and I think a lot of people are that way. How uncategorically wrong that is. Understand two important things here today. The great sovereign God of creation, the controller, the sustainer, the commander, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, He loves you. Don't ask me why. He loves you. And let me go a step further. He likes you. He doesn't just love you, but shrug his shoulders and say, I don't know why, but I love that person. You know, He likes you. He likes your personality traits. He likes your quirks. He likes me. He likes my warts. When God looks down here, He swoons as He looks at you. He chuckles at your sense of humor. He likes you for who you are. Thank Him for that. You know, God, I'm quite a piece of work. I mean, you know, when I stand before you, I recognize I'm a mess. Thank you for loving me. How can you do that? How can you like me? I don't even like myself. But you like me. Wow. Thanks. A great undeserved love. Here's the third thing as we look at our passage. Thank God for His faithfulness. In verse 2, the psalmist talks about God's faithful love and His faithfulness at night. Another word for faithful is loyal. Think about that for a moment. How many people do you have in your life who are unshakable, immovable in their loyalty to you? Absolutely loyal to you. Let me tell you, you're fortunate if you have one. Absolutely loyal. Well, God's loyal to you. He's faithful. Scripture says. In fact, we can define God's faithfulness by saying God is passionately loyal to His promises. Because he loves us so much, he's made promises to us. He's made promises to me. He's made promises to you. They're documented. We've read them. They're written down. We could list them. And you need to understand this. He is absolutely, unshakably loyal to those promises. He will keep those promises that he's made to you. Every last one of them. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to question that. We don't have to have anxiety over that. He is absolutely loyal to the promises he's made to you. Wow. He's made some bodacious promises. Have you ever read some of those and said to yourself, "Man, I don't know, God. That's an unusual promise." God says, "I know, but I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it." Many of you know that I'm a Marine. I rub that in. I know sometimes. I'm sorry. I'm not, but I'm sorry. I'm an old Marine, but I'm still a Marine. And you know that when one Marine greets another, we say to each other, Semper Fi. That's Latin. It means always faithful. Always faithful. It's our motto. That's God's motto to you. When God greets you, he says, I'm always going to be faithful to you. I'm always going to be loyal to you no matter what. No matter what. A lot of things are kind of shaky in life. A lot of things are kind of questionable in life. We can be anxious about a lot of things. We can be nervous about a lot of things. Never be nervous about this. God will always, always, always be faithful to you. He'll always, always, always be loyal to you. It's a weakness on his part if he has a weakness. He'll always be loyal to you, to a fault. He'll always be faithful. Here's the fourth thing. Thank God for his works. In verses 4 and 5, the psalmist is thanking God for his good works. God faithfully blesses and does lots of good things for us. Psalmist says there in verses 4 and 5, look back down at your passage. The psalmist says, you have made me rejoice, Lord, by what you have done. I will shout for joy because of the works of your hands. How magnificent are your works. Your works. I'm profiting from your works, so I'm going to thank you for your works. A very successful businessman who was a second-generation Romanian. Frustrated with his dad. First-generation immigrant. His son was second-generation. Hope I said that right. So the son comes to his dad and says, Dad, you know, I don't know how you run this business. The man was a small business owner. He said, You keep your accounts payable in a drawer. You keep your accounts receivable on that spindle over there. You keep all your cash in a cash box. You don't know what your profits are. And this Romanian immigrant said, well, when I arrived here as a young man, I had $100 in my pocket. Now your sister is an art teacher. Your brother is a doctor. You're a successful CPA. We own our own home. We own two automobiles, and we own this little business. Add all that up, subtract $100, and the rest of it's profit. We have more profit than that Romanian businessman. We didn't even have $100 in our pocket when we arrived here. Most of us were born here, right? We didn't even have pockets. You have a home. you have at least one automobile. You have a computer, maybe more than one. You have smartphones. We have our health. We have family. We probably got together with our family this Thursday. We have food in our cupboard. We have clothes in our closets. We have love. We have comfort. Add all that up and subtract from it whatever you came into this world with. The rest of it's profit. All the rest of it. Profit. God's done, friend, God's done just a little bit for you. You have an income? Do you know the average income on this planet is $500 a year per person? Are you a little above average with your income? How much more? You a little more than that? That's God's gift. Those are God's works. The psalmist is saying, man, there's a lot going on in my life. I've got some problems. I've got some issues. But God, listen, you've done a lot for me. And I'm just going to pause here for just a minute, and I'm going to thank you, God, for all you've done. We got a video back there. Let's look at this for just a moment.
Thank you, God, for trusting me to be his dad.
Thank you, Lord, that when a door closes, you're still going to take care of me.
And thank you for cheetahs and pickles and fairy wings and mommies and daddy.
Thank you, Father, for always giving me perspective.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, God, that you are the great physician of both my body and my soul.
Father, thank you for knowing my family's needs even before I do.
And for ladybugs and old people and Disney movies and Miss Walker and donuts.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me that I'm never alone.
Thank you, God, for what I have. And also, I wouldn't mind an upgrade soon.
And I want to speak to a manager. I'm sick and tired of trying to figure all this out. Now I have to take my time to call it. My time to just...
Thank you, Father God, for love, joy, peace, and patience. Lord, especially patience.
And thank you for Jesse, even though he's mean during recess. Help him find a good friend. That's what he needs. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God, for childlike faith.
Thank you.
You got anything to be thankful for? Good works. Now, let me just touch on one last thing here. Let me frame it this way. Thank God for being God. Verse 1 says, it is good to praise the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High. It's good. It's good to do that. Why is it good to praise the Lord and to sing praise to his name? Just because he's God and he loves you. In 1986, Shel Silverstein wrote the classic, The Giving Tree. It's a simple children's book. You may have read it to your kids. Beautifully illustrated, very simple. It goes this way. When the boy was young, he swung from the tree's branches, climbed all over her, ate her apples, slept in her shade. Those were happy, carefree days. The tree loved those years. But as the boy grew, he spent less and less time with the tree. Come on, let's play, invited the tree on one occasion. But the young man was interested only in money. So the tree said, here, take my apples and sell them. He did, and the tree was happy. He didn't return for a long time, but the tree smiled when he passed by one day. Come on, let's play, the tree said. But the man was older and tired of his world. He wanted to get away from it all. The tree said, cut me down. Take my large trunk and make yourself a boat. Then you can sail away. The man did, and the tree was happy. Many seasons passed, summers and winters, windy days, lonely nights, and the tree waited. Finally, the old man returned, too old and tired to play, to pursue riches, or to sail seas. The tree said, I have a pretty good stump, my friend. Why don't you just sit down here and rest? He did. And the tree was happy. God's like that old giving tree. He has given everything to you. And he would do it all again. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. His life is loving you. And even though we're not worrying where our next pot of squash is going to come from, we have a lot for which to thank God. Today, in this hour, in this moment, let's set everything else aside and just take a moment to thank God. Let's have just a quiet moment. Let's all bow our heads. In your life, thank Him.